Hey, Warheads. Welcome back to Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am joined today by my friend Chris. Hey, Chris.
Man, it feels good to be back again.
It has been a while for you, hasn't it?
It really has been. Kind of been in and out. Hopefully now we'll get back on a little bit regular of a recording schedule, I think.
Get you back in here more often.
Exactly right. I've missed our trivia time.
Oh.
I know.
Hug. And to my left, returning triumphantly, is our friend Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hey.
Charge.
No. Thank you, I think.
Well, hey, we were just busting out the fanfare for you.
No, I appreciate it.
Unfortunately, on Jonathan's budget, we could only afford like a non-existent kazoo.
But that's fine with me, man.
And that is, I mean, a kazoo for you, that's about right.
Yeah.
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 Kazoo level talent.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, I think you're a trombone level talent.
I have a funny kazoo story for y'all.
Really?
Well, you might as well tell it now.
Who has a kazoo story?
So it was.
Is it about the Martian on Fred Flintstone?
It is not.
Oh,
so this is from. I don't know if you guys remember the TV show Martin from the 90s featuring Martin Lawrence.
Oh yeah,
Martin.
There was an episode where he knew somebody that was trying to get a record deal, and long story short, there were people coming in and out of this record producer's office going to audition. And so I don't know if you remember Tracy Morgan's character, Hustle Man, from that.
Of course not.
No way. I didn't even know Tracy Morgan was on there.
He was always trying to come up. And so he comes in, and he has a saxophone with a kazoo on the end of it. And he is playing Pick Up the Pieces through this kazoo. And he's like acting out and dancing and everything. It's just like, and he starts like acting like he's picking up something off the floor and goes, pick up the pieces.
That was
just
awesome.
You have the YouTube Pick Up the Pieces, Martin. This is just a wonderful clip.
I think we're going to have to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, please do.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's good stuff. I can't wait to see that.
So this morning, before we started recording, I actually got to watch a movie.
What? Shut up. You did not.
I sat down and watched a movie.
Okay, what was this masterpiece?
It was Star Trek Into Darkness.
Okay.
Into Darkness?
No, Into Darkness.
Into You're Darkness, good. I got it right?
That's the second one of the new Star Trek series?
Yes. Okay. Yes, so it was, while I was picking Dora shows for Sebastian one day in Amazon Prime, I went in and saw, okay, featured recommendation movies and whatever, and so I put some of them in a playlist so that if I ever had time to just sit there and watch a movie, they'd be there for me to pick from. I really liked it.
Did you really?
I thought it was very, very good. There was only two moments in the entire film that were contrived and bad. But other than that, overall, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
See, I kind of go back and forth on the movie, to be
really
honest with you. Yeah, because it's like, I really, up until the part where they start copying a previous movie, I really liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I don't want to say I got done with it, but it frustrated me because I just thought they were better than that. J.J. Abrams, you're better than that.
I didn't mind it.
Really?
Didn't mind it. The only things that I minded, I hate whenever, this is the second or third time they've done this.
Oh, yes, spoiler alerts, people.
Well, any time that you see this in the original commercials, any time an Enterprise or a spaceship slides into the Earth, it always looks cheesy. It always looks like a model crashing into a model city, and that is never done well. It's impossible to do that well. And so they did that scene, and that was bad. The other one, the whole part about the Tribble was contrived. They could have just said, hey, I have an idea, without it being from a stupid Tribble that had no business being there. So those are the only two things I thought
that's interesting.
Were stupid.
The Tribble was the one thing. It was
that
one
was
of
the dumbest thing.
Wow.
That was the one plot device they used, which was like, you're better than that. You didn't need to do that.
And I'll be honest with you, that part made sense because it's like how many times that those stupid things like doubled and tripled and quadrupled and stuff like that? That kind of made sense.
Yeah, but they didn't.
So.
They had never discovered them. They were new on their 5-year voyage originally, so they shouldn't have even had one there. So it was just that part was dumb. But other than that, thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I was glad that I watched it.
Very awesome.
Nice. Which is kind of like news.
I know, right? Well, one, that he watched a movie, and two, that he actually liked the movie that he watched.
Well, I typically don't. I typically like most of the movies that I watch because I screen them pretty thoroughly. they have to have made it over a few years of good reviews before I take a chance at them.
I was going to say, I'm going to scoot back. Lightning should be striking in.
What movie did I see recently that I didn't like?
All I'm saying is this. Well, one, you haven't seen a movie
exactly.
recently,
I only watch movies that I'm going to like.
But all I'm saying is, okay, let's just say there's a lot of movies you have not seen.
That I wouldn't have liked.
That you're like, that's terrible. That's
yes,
a terrible idea.
Exactly
and
right.
Just, and it's just,
I prejudge.
No.
It's wonderful.
Oh,
if you ever want Jonathan's movie recommendations, you're only going to see good movies.
I completely disagree with that.
That's the way it is. All right, well, let's change gears a little bit. Why don't we warm it up, Chris?
Warm it up, Chris! I'm about to. Warm it up, Chris! That's what I was born into.
Gentlemen, it's a good thing that we're talking about movies right off the bat because I've got a movie question for you guys.
Hey, I'm warmed up for this.
All right. Gentlemen, here's what I want you to do. Did you know that Steven Spielberg is the most bankable director out there? His movies have grossed over $9.81 billion. That's billion with a B.
Seems like a lot. Is that a lot, Ben?
Yeah. Oh, well, the number seems small when you first hear it, but then you think about, well, no, billion is a lot.
A lot of zeros.
Okay. A lot of zeros, yeah.
So from the top 10 of everything, 2015 edition, by Paul Terry, he compiled in dollars what the top 10 directors have made. I want you guys, after Steven Spielberg, to name the top 10 directors.
Are these adjusted money-wise. For inflation or not?
They are not adjusted for inflation.
Okay.
Oh.
Jonathan, would you like to start it off, or Ben, would you like
No, I'll go first.
Yeah, let him go first.
George Lucas.
George Lucas is not on the list.
Did not he not direct the original Star Wars?
He directed the original Star Wars.
That didn't get him on the list by himself?
No, but he didn't direct Empire Strikes Back. He didn't direct Return of the Jedi.
Okay. I thought that one movie would have been enough to put him in the top 10.
One movie was like a little over $1 billion.
Just saying. If $1 billion doesn't get you on this list, that means wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fair point.
I'm going to just go with the obvious, James Cameron.
James Cameron's number two on this list. He's made over $6 billion.
Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese is not on this list.
I'm not good at this.
I will tell you this. You've got to start thinking big picture blockbuster movies, like the summer blockbuster movies.
I don't know many directors.
I'll go with J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams, not yet on this list, although he's probably like 12 or 13, especially after a bit. So, all right, let's do a couple more. Jonathan.
You said directed, right? Not produced?
That's correct, yes.
I don't know if he was a director or not. I'm really bad at this. But what's that guy's name?
I was going to say, you've got one of the movies that one of the directors did on your shelf right over there, as a matter of fact, Jonathan.
There's no way it's Kevin Smith.
No.
There's no way.
Kevin Smith isn't like sniffing at like 100.
Peter Jackson?
Peter Jackson is correct. Number three on the list of $5.49 billion.
He did the Hobbit stuff.
He did all six of the Lord of the Ring movies.
I'm going to go with, I'm not absolutely sure of his first name, but I know his last name is Bay.
Yep, Michael Bay
I thought it was Michael.
Yep, number four on the list, $4.67 billion.
Good job.
There's a very famous video of him at a convention where I guess he was supposed to talk about the new curved TVs just like 5 or 6 years ago, and he was supposed to have a teleprompter, and it failed, and he like freaks out and just walks off stage. Like, I guess very famous. So check that out when you get a chance.
I've kind of heard that he's kind of a Delta Bravo, so, and that he's very hard to work with.
Yeah, well, yeah, Delta Bravo is definitely good, and he's definitely not good at making things up on the fly. Mm-hmm. Apparently,
yeah.
I guess he can only do things when he has a script.
Wow. That explains so much about Armageddon.
No, nobody gave him a script on how to direct a good movie. So I'm debating. I'm going back and forth in my head between possibly Christopher Columbus and Sam Raimi. I'm thinking about the Spider-Man stuff, and I'm thinking about the Harry Potter stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Sam Raimi.
Oh, incorrect.
Christopher Columbus?
Chris Columbus is number six on the list.
There are enough hints there that I'm just going to go
$3.85 billion.
It wasn't the Harry Potter stuff that made him the most money?
Well, he only directed the first two.
Still, those are big.
But then also Home Alone.
Ah.
Home Alone 2, and then He did Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mm.
And so he's made a lot of movies that made it some serious bank.
I'd like to say John Hughes, but I don't think that he did enough movies, and none of them were super big hits.
And you're 100% right. I mean, also they're all very modest hits, and again, most of them were in the 80s as well. Where I mean, if you adjust for inflation, maybe up there, but
so
let's see. The remaining ones you have number 5, 7. 8, 9, and 10.
Throw us some bones. Throw us some movies.
All right. I know I'm going to give you guys number 8 because you guys have, I don't think you guys have heard this guy. His name is Gore Verbinski.
Sure, I have.
Okay.
He did Starship Troopers. Boom.
No, that was Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, they both start with Ver.
Okay, but no. But Gore Verbinski was the one that did all of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh,
you may not like them, but they made a lot.
Those were terrible.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but they made a lot of money.
The first one was actually decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the ones after that were
yeah. Black Pearl was good, but after but they made a truckload of cash.
Okay, so give us you could have just told us Pirates of the Caribbean and let us stab at it.
All right, fair enough. Number 5. Let's see some of the movies that this guy's done. He did Back to the Future trilogy.
Back to the Future.
Back.
I wish I could time travel. I'd go look at this guy.
Chris Christopherson.
That's a musician.
I don't know. No, I don't know who did Back to the Future either.
All right, Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, I've heard his name.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that name before.
All right, number 7. He did the original Batman movie.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton is correct. 3.76 billion. Okay, then of course Gore Verbinski. The number 9, Opie Howard.
Ron Howard.
Opie Cunningham. That's right. Ron Howard.
Howard. Opie Howard. Poor guy.
What was it that Eddie Murphy used to call him in Saturday Night Live? Opie Cunningham. So, anyway, okay. And then the number 10 is, let's see, he did the biggest comic book movie of all time up until the Avengers.
That's actually the guy whose name, one of the guys I was trying to think of was
Inception.
The guy who did the Avengers.
No, that's Joss Whedon.
That's the guy's name I was looking
for. Biggest comic movie of all time up until the Avengers.
Iron Man.
No.
Or Spider-Man. That's why I went with Sam Raimi.
Thinking of The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight is actually, that's correct.
It
made over $1 billion. Inception was another movie that he did. He also did Interstellar that came out last year.
Oh, Ridley. Ridley Scott.
Nope.
Darn.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard his name before.
Okay.
All these names sound familiar. I just wouldn't have never.
I'm not good with directors. Obviously, I'm not good with movies, but
you haven't seen many of them.
I know.
But between all these directors, they've made over $60 billion. $60 billion. That's just crazy. That, my friends, is your warming up Chris question of the episode.
You would have been better at that than we were.
I know, but.
He likes to see a squirm, apparently.
I think so. All right, Ben, why don't you get us rolling?
I will do better for next time.
Let's get this party started.
Let's get this party started quickly, right?
Wow. Just so much 90s pop going on right now. All right.
I am the C in CNC Music Factory.
Yeah, clearly.
Hey, what book are we using, Ben?
So the book that we're using is the 5-Star Trivia Quiz Book by Rich Meyer. All right, so your first question here in round one is going to be in sports.
Sports!
What sport is played on a field that is 300 yards long and 160 yards wide?
Jeez.
That's so big.
That's what she said.
Wow, thanks for that. I'm like, Quidditch? Oh, my gosh.
Wow, really?
300 yards long.
Yeah. I've got like two ideas, but I think they're bad ones. All right. I've written my answer down and locking it in, Jonathan. So go ahead and talk away.
Okay. So I have a couple of clues to work with here, and I just realized it.
Okay.
The first clue that I have to work with here is that I've never seen this sport. So I've never physically, that means it can't be soccer, it can't be football, it can't be hockey or any variation thereof.
What about foosball?
Nope. And I thought about soccer at first, but I was like, no, they play soccer on American football fields a lot of times, so there's no football field that's 300 yards. And then I thought, 300 yards? That's longer than any person needs to run for anything. So maybe it's not people. And that's when my answer came to me. I'm going with polo.
Oh.
Because I'm betting it's horses running that need that much space.
Very nice. That's you know what? Now that you said that, again, if we're playing pub trivia, I would be like, yeah, we're going with that. That's a good answer. I was going back and forth between rugby, because, again, not something I see all the time, and Australian rules football. Because Australian rules football, that is the weirdest, longest field I've ever seen in my life. If you've ever seen it on any, like, I used to watch it from time to time on ESPN when ESPN didn't have anything other than bowling and Australian rules football.
I don't know the difference between the two.
I don't know either. It's just weird. But I went ahead and, although I would really like to go with Jonathan's answer because I think that's right now that he's mentioned it, I'm going to go with rugby because that's what I wrote down and I want to stay true to myself.
Sure. The correct answer is polo.
Nice job.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Australian rules football popped into my head initially when I read the question because I know that the field is shaped weirdly.
It really is.
They don't run
in
a straight
line.
It's like they run in like a parabola almost.
Yeah, and then they got like these like four poles up that you have to – you kick the ball between like one of the poles and one means one point, one means another depending on where you are in the field.
Boy, that's very odd.
Yeah, it's weird.
As soon as I thought that's too big for humans, the answer popped in there.
I saw the little light bulb kind of ding up.
That was the key thought that led to the answer.
Yeah. Good job, man.
All right. So your second question is going to be in mythology.
Oh, great.
What name was given to the Roman god of war?
Okay. Well, we're going to 3-2-1 that.
No, because I keep mixing up Roman and
Well, I will write my answer down.
Yeah,
I'm locked. You don't have to write. You can talk. I'm locked.
I believe it's Ares. I'm about 99.9% sure. But I mix up Roman and Greek all the time, and so that's the only reason why I didn't want to go 1-2-3. But my answer is Ares.
You mixed them up.
I did.
The correct answer is Mars.
Dadgummit.
Yep, Mars.
Jeez.
Here's the trick. This is for everybody listening.
All right.
If you ever need to figure out if it's Roman or Greek. Almost all of the major Roman gods are planets.
Okay, good enough.
Roman equals planets. That's how you tell them apart.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, I did the same thing you did, and I was like, I know it's either Mars or Ares, and I'm like, well, Ares sounds like a Greek name, it's got to be Mars.
So Roman gods, Jupiter is Zeus, Neptune is Poseidon, Mars is Ares, Saturn is Kronos or whatever Zeus's dad's name was. Uranus is the next one up, his granddaddy, and Venus is Aphrodite, Mercury is Hermes, so literally,
man.
It is all the planets.
Don't like being in a hole to you 20 to nothing. That sucked to the ox, Flanders.
All right, so your last question in this round is in food.
Well, we just ate some a little bit ago, so we're in good shape here.
Some lovely Publix fried chicken.
Mm.
This question is brought to you by Publix, who didn't pay me to say that.
But their fried chicken is awesome.
Yes, it is.
And we love you, Publix.
So is their iced tea.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Within 1 year either way, what year were pretzel M&M candies originally released?
Wow.
At least he didn't ask us when peanut M&Ms were released. Really? That seems like that'd be harder.
I know. That would be a lot harder. So... Okay, I'm going to go and write in my answer. I'm trying to remember when I saw the first commercials for it. So go ahead, Jonathan.
I'm trying to do the same thing. I'm almost certain they did not exist when I was a teenager.
When I was 17, I was a very young boy.
Okey-dokey.
No Frank Sinatra? All
right. No. So I think it's later than that. I think that means it's pushing into the thousands, the 2000s. So I'm going to say 2001.
Okay.
We're going with a space odyssey.
Ooh. Okay. I remember there was a commercial where the M&Ms were going through the airport, and they did go one through the x-ray, and there was a peanut in one of them. And I want to say that was 2012. 2012 is my answer.
All right. Jonathan, you should have went with the other space odyssey. The answer is 2010.
Oh, it was off by a freaking year.
What do you mean the other space odyssey? Is there another movie called 2010 Space Odyssey?
Yeah, it was 2001 and 2010.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and then Arthur C. Clarke wrote the books for both of them.
Huh.
And actually, I think he wrote for a third.
So is that recent? It was only 5 years ago.
The movie was called 2010, but it was made in like...
He was made in the product.
The answer is
2010.
It's only 5 years ago.
That stinks.
But
I was so close.
That movie 2010, you should definitely read the reviews on it to see if you want to watch it or not.
We should have done an all or nothing.
By the way, you said when you were talking about it, you said saw an X-ray with a peanut in it, not a pretzel.
Oh, okay. Well, I meant pretzel.
I know you did. All right, so we had nil in that round.
No perfect game for you, mister.
Never is. I don't even try for it. So the score after the first round is 20-0.
Whew. Man, lick my wounds.
All right, maybe you can make up some points this next round.
Right now, this book stinks because I haven't gotten one answer right yet.
Right now, you're throwing a perfect game, Chris.
Yes. It's the opposite. That's right. I am doing a no-no.
Perfectly horrible.
No right answer.
Nice.
No. You get a wrong answer. You get a wrong answer. Everybody gets a wrong answer.
All right. I felt like I was in church just then. All right. So round two, your first question is in literature.
Yes. Literature.
Love it.
Who wrote the children's tale, The Ugly Duckling?
Oh, wow.
I'll go ahead and lock one in.
Really?
I think I know it.
Man, I am just... Okay. Actually, I think it just came to me. You good?
Yeah, talk.
Okay, because originally my thought was like Beatrix Potter, but that, of course, was the Peter Cottontail or Peter Rabbit series. I can't remember which one it was. Then I remembered, actually, this is a little bit more of a classic story. And my answer, because of that, is Hans Christian Andersen.
Even though it's not a fairy tale, I did write down Hans Christian Andersen.
Correct answer is Hans Christian Andersen.
Nice. Is it Hans or Hans? Because he was Dutch.
Then why doesn't his name end in Ver?
Well,
nice. And also, I don't know if you guys remember the old like movie that was out in like the 50s or 60s that Danny Kaye was in, which was based on Hans Christian Andersen's life. And it was partly a musical and partly a movie. And as a child, I remember really liking that movie a lot. And I don't know what the name of it was or anything like that, but I remember watching it quite a bit as a child.
We couldn't even name famous directors, dude. We're certainly not going to be able to help you with that. Yeah. Ben's looking at me like, does he expect us to know this?
Fair enough.
But if you look that up and send it to me, I will put that in the show notes.
Okay.
For whoever Danny Kaye is. I don't know who that is either.
Really? You don't know who Danny Kaye is?
Was he a dancer?
He was a very famous actor, singer, dancer. Really wonderful actor in his time.
Okay.
So, anyway. All right. Thank goodness I'm off the schneid.
There you go.
Man.
Woo.
All right. Let me just shake that bad, icky, non-answering feelings off.
All right.
You're still losing.
So uncomfortable in this room right now.
You should have seen it.
You got evil spirits.
He got up and shook himself all around Ben. He was right up next to him. It was disgusting.
Really?
What? Visual imagery. This is important.
Yes, and only none of that was true.
Ben, well, was it true?
Well, there was fiction involved.
Et tu, Brute?
There was fiction involved.
He said there was fiction.
Oh, I thought he said friction.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I was like, what?
See, that's the problem when you sneeze out evil spirits. They start to circulate around.
He was trying to warm it up.
Yeah, well, yes, he was. He was not successful. All right. So, your second question in the second round is in entertainment.
All right.
Harpo Incorporated is the production company of what television impresario?
Okay, locked in.
Okay, so immediately when you said Harpo Incorporated, I started leaning towards the Marx Brothers, and I was all over some Groucho Marx, but then I realized, wait, I think that's Oprah Winfrey's company, so I'm going with Oprah Winfrey.
If you spell Harpo backwards, it's Oprah.
Oh, is that where that comes from?
Oprah Winfrey is their correct answer.
Yep, yes, it is.
Oh, it's a shame Harpo died before Oprah became famous. They could have done work together. It would have been great.
Well, the funny thing about that is Harpo was the name of Oprah Winfrey's character's husband in The Color Purple.
Oh, was it?
Yep. And that movie came out right around the time that she started launching her TV show. So,
no kidding.
Interesting. Mm. All right. So your last question in the round is geography.
Okay.
What is the capital of Finland?
Back to Scandinavia. We have more Scandinavian geography on this show than any other geography.
It's terrible, too, because we all...
All right, let me think for a second here.
All right.
I'm going to get this.
I'm actually locking in my answer.
Oh, good.
All right, even though I spelled it wrong. Because it is a Scandinavian capital. Okay, locked in.
So I made a mistake a few shows back, maybe 10 or 12 shows back, about a Scandinavian capital.
I was hosting.
That's right. I said the wrong one, but still got the question right. And so I learned from that one, Sweden is Stockholm. Which one are we trying to get to? Finland?
Finland.
Norway is Oslo. Denmark is... Can't ever remember Denmark's. I'm worried that that might be the one I'm thinking of. Iceland's Reykjavik. I'm thinking the one that's going through my head is Helsinki, but there's a capital that I'm missing. Stockholm, Oslo, Copenhagen. Denmark is Copenhagen, or maybe I'm switching Denmark and Norway, but that means Finland has to be Helsinki. I'm going Helsinki.
And Helsinki is my answer as well.
Helsinki.
Woo!
All right. We both swept that round.
We did. We turned on the jets.
Yeah. Still behind by 20, though. Got to make some leeway here.
Score is 50-30 in Jonathan's favor.
All right. So your first question in round three is entertainment.
Okay.
What was the performing name of Joe Ewell Jr.?
Could you spell Ewell?
Ewell is Y-U-L-E.
Okay,
like Ewell Log.
Okay, repeat the question again for us, please.
What was the performing name of Joe Ewell Jr.?
This question kind of sucks.
I've never heard of it. I've never heard the name before ever.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So I'm just trying to think of what could be a pseudonym.
All right, I'm going to write an answer down real quick. And I'm writing in, so you can talk about it or just sit there and sweat, whatever you want to do.
So,
Vet.
With the name Joe Ewell, Y-U-L-E, Ewell, I think about Christmas. And if I was coming up with a pseudonym for myself and I had a name like Ewell, I would do something related to Christmas. But there's one person I just thought of whose name in the movies is Ewell, and that's Ewell Brenner. So it could be Ewell Brenner. I'm going to go with that. I'll say Ewell Brenner.
Huh. Interesting. I like how you got there. I was going more contemporary, and I was thinking because there's a – even though I can't remember the guy's name that does the song – that were in the part of the song they say the word Yule, but I can't remember the rapper that does that song, so that kind of hoses me right there. But I ended up just writing T-Pain down just because I don't know why. So T-Pain is my answer.
He's on a boat.
He is on a boat.
Nice.
The answer is Mickey Rooney.
Oh wow.
Whoa.
Man.
So the rapper that you're thinking about is Soulja Boy.
Okay.
Watch me.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah.
So we weren't getting that one.
No, we were not.
It was very obscure.
I didn't have any idea the dude had a pseudonym, and there was no way to get to it from the question.
Well, what's funny is, like, I mean, he's been in a ton of movies. But Chris inside me is going, oh, that's the guy from The Muppets. And it's sad but true, but that's like that was my first thought. It was like, oh, Mickey Rooney, the guy from The Muppets. I got it.
Okay, so your second question in round two is in literature. What novel was adapted by radio's Mercury Theater on the Air in 1938 and caused what many called a nationwide panic?
Okay. You want to say it together? 3, 2, 1. War of the Worlds.
That's correct. I didn't realize that was such an easy question for you guys.
Yeah, well, that's...
You never know.
That's one of the most... I mean, that's honestly, story-wise, that's one of the most famous stories. Orson Welles got in so much trouble for that. It wasn't even funny.
It's a classic event. Like, yeah. Literally, people ran out of their houses. They thought we were being invaded by aliens.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, there was some kind of mockumentary thing done in the 90s where ABC or one of the major networks showed a news broadcast that was saying, hey, we found aliens, basically trying to recreate that experience. But it was stupid because all you had to do is flip over to the other channels and realize, okay, I don't know what they're doing, but this is not real. Yeah. It's not like the 30s when there was nothing but the one radio station you had.
That's right.
Wow, that's interesting.
I mean, you can go on YouTube right now and actually listen to the whole thing. And it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And actually, if you want...
Show notes!
If you really want to close your eyes and just hear it and everything like that and just picture yourself, like you said, There's only one radio station out there. You don't know what the heck's going on. You could be Podunk U and think that, oh my gosh, New York's under attack. You literally think it was, and it's just
there's no way to verify. Stuff.
So I've never heard Orson Welles, but is he anywhere near as intimidating as Vincent Price when he talks? Because Vincent Price
not
is
in the same way.
No, well, yeah, Orson Welles is just powerful. Vincent Price is very, very creepy. I mean, just
I watched some great movies.
May he rest in peace.
Yes, yeah. Sanctos et Sanctos et Sanctos. But no, Orson Welles was he did Citizen Kane, which is some considered the greatest movie ever made. I mean, he also, for me personally, he was the voice of Unicron in the Transformers, the original Transformers movie cartoon, which I just loved.
All right, so your last question in the round is in sports.
Sports!
Who holds the record for the most points scored in a single game of the National Hockey League?
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, I've locked my answer in. Before I rethink about it.
So with hockey, you always lean towards two guys for every answer. You always lean towards Gordie Howe or Wayne Gretzky.
Or Wayne Gretzky.
Isn't that what I said?
You said Wayne Gretzky. You're merging the two names together.
Or Wayne Gretzky. Thank you. And so then I think, you know, with trivia, you know, typically the obvious answer is not going to be the right answer. So I think about Bobby Hull, and I think about the Rocket, and I think about Mario Lemieux and all of the great current players. I'm going to go Gordie Howe.
It's interesting, because that's exactly what I went with, was Gordie Howe.
Correct answer is Daryl Sittler.
Or it's somebody we've never heard of. Now, mind you, Jonathan and I are not very well-versed in hockey.
Yeah, but we know the greats. That dude's not a great.
Well, he had 6 goals and 4 assists, so he was great that night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy moly. All right. So there's a shank for both of us.
I was going to say, we're limping into the halftime question.
All right. The score going into halftime is 60-40. Jonathan's in the lead.
All right. 6 New York 20-somethings do life together in the NBC sitcom Friends. Name 4 of the 6 actors who starred in the main cast. So I want the actors' names.
Actors.
Okay. I'm glad you asked for 4. I have my 4. I can't think. I know who the. I can't think of the other 2's names. So I have 4 though. So I'm locked in.
I've come up with 5. I was trying to remember the last one.
I knew you were. Oh wait, no, I remembered the 5th.
Did y'all want to do bonus points if you get all 6 or something?
No, nah. We're just kind of going for bragging rights at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hold on, let's keep going. I want to see if I can get all 6. Are you trying to think of a guy or a girl?
Girl.
I'm trying to think of a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Let's start with the obvious and go to the least obvious.
Okay.
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox or Courtney Cox Arquette, depending on what season. Sure. Yep,
I'll accept it.
Whatevs.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yep. David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer as Ross. Absolutely. Matt LeBlanc is who you're thinking of.
Oh, that's the one I couldn't think of. Lisa Kudrow is the one you couldn't think
that's
of.
That's exactly right. I wrote down Lisa. I couldn't remember her last name to save my life.
And then I think both had Matthew Perry. Yeah.
Yep. Y'all nailed them between the 2. All right. 4 points for both of you.
Man. Kudrow.
I'm shocked that you didn't get all 6 of those, to be honest with you.
I was close. If I had another minute or so, I would have gotten it. But it was just I couldn't remember. I remembered her first name.
I couldn't remember Joey at all.
I was Joey.
Never getting it.
Mm.
All right. So after the half, it's 80-60. Jonathan's in the lead. That first round is hovering over your head this whole game.
Like a black cloud.
All right. So round 4, your first question is in movies.
All right.
This cult film is set almost entirely in and around a Quick Stop convenience store. What was the name of this 1994 black and white film?
Okay. You want to say it together? 3, 2, 1.
Clerks.
That is correct.
We made a Kevin Smith joke earlier.
Yeah, that was right. Awesome. I didn't know that movie was black and white.
Yeah.
It's been forever since I've seen it.
It was made for $37,000. Kevin Smith maxed out all his credit cards, borrowed money from just about everybody he knew in order to make it.
So your second question in the round is in the Bible.
Biblical. All right. That means Chris is going to miss it.
And the question is, name the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse.
All right, I've got mine locked in.
I've got 3 out of the 4, and it's just the fourth one that's kind of sticking to me a bit. And then also, of course, X-Men keeps floating in my head a little bit like
I
that,
know.
Too.
Wolverine.
So, yeah, so the three I've got right now are Death, Strife, and Famine. And it's just, and it's the fourth one that's kind of eluding me right now.
Okay.
Elude. And what stinks...
To be fair, before going on, I've studied these before.
Yeah.
There are multiple names for some of them.
Yeah, so I'll accept, yeah.
Just be aware of that.
Yeah. I'll be sensitive to that.
Okay.
He is a sensitive man.
I try.
Soothing tones.
Mm.
Dulcet.
Very nice use of the word dulcet.
Yes.
So, Death, Strife, Famine, and... bollocks. No, bollocks is not my answer.
Oh, man. That would be an awesome name for a horse in the apocalypse, though. Bollocks. Yeah, because if you see a horse named Bollocks coming, you know it can't be anything good at all.
You're just getting kicked in the nuts. Everywhere this horse rides, kicking people in the nuts.
Oh, so good. That's so good. You kicked me in the bollocks. I can't think of it. My last answer is going to be disease. So it's death, strife, famine, and disease.
You may get credit. At least, depending on how generous Ben is, I have death, famine, war, and pestilence.
Pestilence.
I actually give you full credit for that. So death and famine, war, strife is kind of the same thing. Disease, pestilence, same thing. So
yeah,
you both got it right.
All right, sweet.
I figured you'd get credit for that. That was close enough for sure.
Yeah, and especially depending on what version of the Bible you read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's the Message, it could be anything.
It could be flowers, sunshine. All right, so your last question in the round is in video games.
Oh, yeah.
Crap.
I just studied video games to do that other show that is coming on before this one, as a matter of fact.
You'll let us know, though, if this was one of the questions, right?
Maybe.
Okay, sure.
Hey, just because I know it doesn't mean it's not fair game.
What is the name of the financially troubled company that created the popular social network games Mafia Wars, Cityville, and Farmville?
I guarantee I didn't ask any crap like that.
I'm guessing you don't know the answer.
I got a couple of ideas. I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it too. It's like a strange name is all I can remember. Well, you take a strange name. You're like, thank you for the courtesy laugh. I appreciate that.
No problem, man.
Ben's always got my back. Jonathan?
There's only one video game company like that I can even name, so I'm just going to write it down.
Then you can watch me squirm.
Locked in.
Okay. I want to say it's like Lycina or something like that. It's like Lynceea, but I think I you know what? I'm tapping out. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
No guess at all?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the ones that did like draw something and stuff, and I think Zynko or something like that did Words with Friends, but I really can't remember the name, so I'm tapping out, Uncle.
So there are maybe five or six big companies that do those Facebook games. The only one whose name I know for sure is Zynga, which is Zynga. So I'm going to say Zynga.
Anything to do with Bazinga?
No, actually not.
Okay.
Well, maybe in your case, because that's the correct answer.
Bazinga!
Wow. Yeah. Again, if you're going to yell, can you please let me take the headset out?
Let me do it again. Bazinga!
Thank you for at least letting me take my headset out for a second there, because dang, that was loud. And I'm the deaf one.
You're illin? Are you most deaf?
It's Moss Def.
Not for this purpose.
It is not Moss Def.
It is not Moss Def. It's Moss Def.
Hey, Whitey. I think I'm going to listen to Ben.
It's not Moss Def. Oh, that's like calling him Bruce Springsteen. It's not, you don't pronounce it that way.
It's past tense. It's Springsteen.
All right. So
going into the fifth round.
Yes.
Jonathan's leading 110 to 80. Jumped ahead even further.
Yeah. The thing that stinks is that everyone I've gotten right, you've gotten right. And so I haven't been able to even get a chance to gain ground.
That happened in episode 33 with Nick Suberling.
Mm.
Nick did a great job, but almost like the only time he answered one that I didn't get the next question we flip flopped and it was right back to the same.
I'm feeling you, Nick. I really am.
Yep.
All right. So your fifth round.
Exactly.
Your first question in the fifth round is in history.
Okey-dokey.
Who invented the guillotine?
His name was Guillotine. Nothing.
I'm going to go ahead and write an answer.
Yeah, I'm actually, I think I have an answer in my head, so I'll just, you know what? I mean, it's French, but the only thing I'm thinking of is an Italian. I'm going to say it was Leonardo da Vinci.
I think it's a trick question. I feel like it might be a trick question. I think it's either the guy's name was Guillotine.
Oh, wow.
Or the guy's name was Guillette.
Okay. So what's your answer going to be then?
I'm going to say that the guy's name was Guillotine.
The correct answer is Dr. Joseph Guillotine.
Wow.
Boom shakalaka. You know who I owe that correct answer to?
Who's that?
Good job, Brain.
Oh, really?
One of our favorite trivia shows. One of my favorite trivia shows that I listened to. They talked about that one time.
No kidding.
Actually, we just had one of their guys on our show a couple of weeks ago. Chris Kohler was on our show, the All Video Games show.
Very nice.
They do a great job over there. And the reason I knew that answer was from their show.
Very good. Man, I was doing the funny ha-ha guillotine, and yet that was the right answer.
That's the right answer. I'm just glad I didn't change it and say guillotine. I would have been mad.
This is a softball, but I just love the question, so I'm going to ask it. All right, your second question in the fifth round is in television.
Okay.
Dr. Claw and the forces of MAD were constantly being bested by what animated detective, or at least by the detective's niece and her dog?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, wait.
So they want the detectors.
No, I know. I was about to say the wrong answer until you gave the end of the clue.
Really? I want to know what answer you were gonna give. Should we do 3, 2, 1 and you can talk about it?
Sure, sure.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Inspector Gadget.
That's correct.
The whole question, I was thinking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because you said the hand or the claw or whatever, and they were like the foot, and
yes,
I was just getting in Dr. Shredder.
Next time, Gadget.
I wasn't listening well.
Yeah,
and then you said his niece and dog, and I was like, Penny. Well, that ain't the freaking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What is he asking here?
Yep, Penny and Brain.
Yeah, because the question is, what Dr. Claw and Force of May were constantly being bested by what animated detective?
I was not listening.
You missed those three.
Yeah, words. Then at the end of the episode is next time, Gadget. Next time.
Wow.
If I was Dr. Claw's voice, I would be eating the lozenges like nobody's business.
I forget the name of that cat. That cat had a name. I forget the name of it.
Was Dr. Claw a black guy?
We don't know. All you saw was the claw.
Probably cat.
All you saw was the
cat. That's true. That's true.
Because all you saw was his claw.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. That's a show note for sure.
Penny and Brain. Good stuff.
Yep. Actually, just asking for the name of the dog is a great trivia question.
I always wanted to have the book that Penny had that was the computer.
Oh, that book was amazing.
I know, right? I actually would get like notebook paper and create my own one just so I had the book. I'd be like typing in it and everything like that.
You guys remember this show like way better than I do.
I loved
it. Great childhood memory for me.
Absolutely.
Y'all were a few years older, but that was like middle school for me, elementary, middle school.
Gadget's car alone. You can have it the short little car, the sports car, or it could, bam, bust out to the...
I'd never understand why you use a van. I would always have
I don't think he ever used it either. Did you ever... I never remember seeing it on... I just saw it in the credits of the show, but never actually in the show.
No.
So... Yeah,
whatever.
Go, Gadget, go!
So, okay, so it went from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to Inspector Gadget.
Yep.
Thank goodness to that last part of the question.
Well, you starting to hum the theme song also sent up a red flag.
That sucked. Well, that sucked.
He didn't even finish the question, and you were like, da-da-da-da-da.
You know what, though? That would have been really funny had y'all done 3, 2, 1 and not said the same thing.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
I actually, as soon as I heard her dog, at first you said such and such niece, and I was like, April? No, this can't be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. She doesn't have a dog.
Nice. All right. So your last question in round 5 is in music.
Okay.
With what vocal group did Beyoncé Knowles rise to fame?
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Destiny's Child.
That is correct.
Now, a harder question would have been if they used one of the other two. If they used Kelly Rowland or...
Or that third girl nobody knows.
Actually, or the fourth girl that got cut out of the group.
That's right. I believe the third girl was Michelle Williams, because she actually went on to have...
I believe the third girl was Michelle Obama.
I did not say that, no. But Michelle Williams went on to have a really good gospel career.
She did.
Made several albums for various Christian recording studios.
So, Chris, you broke 100 there. You're right at 100.
Yeah, but what, I'm 40 down?
You're 40 down. I have 140.
Yeah, because you moved up a little bit in that last one.
Dadgummit. Guillotine. You got beheaded there.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
I know, I went far.
He's really enjoying this way too much.
Come back, Shane.
Yeah, y'all just did a score, right?
I just said it.
140 to 100.
I wasn't listening.
Just like me in that last clue.
Totally not listening. Just totally tuned out there. All right, round six. Your first question in round six is in measurements.
Oh.
What units of measurement gets its common abbreviation from the Latin word libra?
You want to do it together?
No, I don't know.
Okay, I'm locking in.
Dang it. Say that again, please, for me.
Is this like nacho libra? Olé!
Could be. What unit of measurement gets its common abbreviation from the Latin word libra?
Okay, I'm going to say pound because LBS, so pound.
I said pound.
Pound.
Okay. I went one way and then was like, okay, just think on this, dummy.
Yeah, as soon as he said Latin, I was like, okay, and libra, LB, it was like, okay, there, it's right there. Yeah. It's got to be that.
Yeah.
Which, interestingly, scales, libra is the scales in astrology.
That's right.
So I wonder if they come from the same root where you weigh things on a scale.
The scales of justice.
Well, you don't weigh justice, but sure. But I bet that's the same. That's why Libra is called that.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
All right. So your second question in round six is in entertainment.
Okie dokie.
They can make him stronger, faster, better than he was. What popular name was applied to the rebuilt Alex Murphy?
You going to do it together?
Sure.
Three, two, one.
RoboCop.
$6 Million Man? Oh, no, that's the first time.
I prophesied it like it's 3 minutes ago.
The first time we've ever done a 3-2-1 and not had the same answer. I think Chris is right.
The only reason why I didn't go with the $6 million man was because I think his name was Steve Austin.
You're right.
But Alex Murphy was RoboCop.
I should have thought longer.
and the answer, Ben,
is RoboCop.
Yeah. Yes, I finally caught up a little bit.
I feel sheepish.
Yeah. I think that means Jonathan's guaranteed to lose this game now.
Really? He's like up by 40. I'm going to say not so fast, my friend. Oh, Lee Corso, you're behind.
Yeah, the momentum has shifted.
Wow.
If wishes could be true, but I doubt it right now. I still got a mountain to climb.
His
name is Jonathan.
Well, you enjoyed that.
That was funny. Because I just said it like 5 minutes ago.
I know. Oh, that sucks.
That was the first for us, too.
That was the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah. So, good times. Good times.
Yeah, for you.
for this one shining moment, yes.
Oh, man. Is this the last question? Where are we at?
It is the last question.
So, all right. So
before the final question.
Yep. So the last question before the final question is in history. Oceanus Hopkins was the first baby to be born on what celebrated seagoing vessel?
It's got to be that.
Yeah, I wrote my answer down if you want to talk it out.
It's got to be the Mayflower. We'll go on the Mayflower.
Yeah, Mayflower.
Correct answer is Mayflower.
Nice.
What you got written down there?
Titanic. So I'm wrong.
You tried to cheat.
I did not try to cheat. I was going to mention it, so...
What? Because I'm like, because I can kind of see. I couldn't see what he wrote, but it wasn't an M.
I had a feeling that was not what he wrote down because he said it really weirdly.
Nope. Every little bit I got back, I just lost.
All right. Well, don't do that again because that gives you integrity questions for us. So please don't do that anymore.
All right. Fine. I wasn't good. Come on, man.
I know, but you set it up to where you could. Okay. And that's a bad look.
This is like bizarro trivial warfare. I feel like I need to put my shirt on backwards or something. Like,
what? Hey, Chris Cross will make you.
Yeah, they will. Oh, man.
Anyway.
So going into the final round, Chris is losing. Sorry. All right, so going into the final round, it's 160 to 120, very high scores. We're enjoying this book tremendously.
What's your category for your final question?
Final questions in sports.
What was my point value, Jonathan?
You have 120, I have 160.
Okay.
I have my wager written down.
Okay, me too. Go ahead, man.
All right. Put these iconic NFL football games in chronological order, starting with the earliest.
Ooh.
Your choices are the Ice Bowl, the Immaculate Reception, the Greatest Game Ever Played, and the Fog Bowl.
Congratulations on this question.
Thanks.
It's a great question.
It is a fantastic question.
Holy hell, it's hard. All right, I'm locked in.
I'm locked in too.
Okay. This is going to be very interesting because I'm not 100% confident, but I feel pretty good about it.
I don't feel so good.
Okay, you want to go first? I'm losing, so you want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. So the first one I have is the greatest game ever played. I believe that was the Giants and the Colts. I want to say that was in the 50s. The Ice Bowl, which was the Green Bay and I want to say it was Green Bay and the Giants. And I think that was a little bit after that. So that's 2. Fog Bowl 3, because I'll be honest with you, I couldn't remember when the Fog Bowl was. I mean, so I pushed it in the middle because the Immaculate Reception was in the 70s. It was Franco Harris, and so I put that as 4. So, again, greatest game ever played. Ice Bowl, Fog Bowl, Immaculate Reception.
So my answer is totally different.
Well, that's a positive.
Except we started with the same one. I have no idea what the greatest game ever played was, but that kind of hyperbole is usually reserved for early stuff. So I said the greatest game ever played was 1. Immaculate Reception, I believe, was mid-70s, maybe 76, maybe 77. I went with that as 2. I thought the Ice Bowl was like 79, 80-ish. I feel like it's the Raiders, like the John Madden Raiders. So I said Ice Bowl was 3, and I said Fog Bowl was 4. I'm just guessing. I'm guessing at all of them, really. But that's why I said greatest game ever played, Immaculate Reception, Ice Bowl, Fog Bowl.
So 1, in 1958 was the greatest game ever played.
Good deal.
The next one in 1967 was the Ice Bowl.
Darn it.
The third one in 1972 was the Immaculate Reception.
Dang it!
And the Fog Bowl was in 1988.
So you were off by what? 1988 was the Fog Bowl?
Yep.
Hey, I was
much
right on that part.
Yeah. So you got the first and the last one in the right order.
Yeah. All right.
You said the Immaculate Reception was last.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that was so close.
Yeah.
And just so you couldn't see it, because you guys couldn't experience that like me and Ben did, but Chris literally backed up, shouted dang it, and his earbud flew out of his ear.
No, I threw it out? Yeah, because I didn't want it to poke me as I was going out.
He was mad.
I was dadgummit. I really wanted that one.
So, Chris, I wagered 39.
Okay.
Which puts me at a finishing score of 121.
Yeah, you beat me at 121-1.
You went 119?
I didn't want to go 0, so... Man, because I was figuring you're probably going to try to outprice me. And so I knew I needed to go all the way.
I thought about going high on that one.
Yeah, because I didn't think you were going 0.
I didn't want to go 0. Yeah, I feel confident that I know something about the NFL, but that was a great question, Ben.
I appreciate it.
That was so good.
You said the years. Do you have the teams that played in those games by chance?
I don't.
Okay.
Greatest
I was just
game
wondering
was
if I was right.
Giants Colts by my recollection.
Okay, I was right on that.
Ice Bowl was, I want to say Green Bay and I think the Bears, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Immaculate Reception was the Raiders and the Steelers.
Right.
And then the Fog Bowl was the Eagles and the Cowboys, I think.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Wow. Great question.
That'll be in the show notes for people if you want to see when and where those were.
Oh, man.
So, Chris, sorry, man.
Another one for Jonathan.
Well, you say it. You gotta say it better than that.
I really do not have to say it better.
Let's
than
say
that.
It. Let's all say it together. Ben, are you with
no.
me?
No.
It's a 1, 2, 3. It's another win for Jonathan.
Man, you've been on an impressive streak lately. So nice job. I'm gonna have to try to conquer the mountain next time around.
Thank you, sir. So, We had a new, you know, I like to read any reviews that we get.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a new review from Dave Nelson. You might remember he's a guy who submitted the Sir Mix-a-Lot 1-900-Mix-a-Lot question the other day. He said, Chris and Jonathan are fun to listen to, and the questions are challenging and not so obscure as to make you want to turn it off.
Well, thank goodness for that. We work hard on that.
Yeah, right. Great job, guys. So thank you, Dave. We appreciate it, and we appreciate that you sent in that question the other day.
Yeah.
Love those. Love them.
That was a fun question, too.
And I don't think I have a Warhead of the Week.
You know what? Ben can be our Warhead of the Week.
Oh, you want Ben to be the Warhead of the Week?
I think so. He's been doing this a few times around. I think Ben should be the Warhead of the
Week. Should we give Ben a round of applause?
Absolutely.
Just in case you guys can't imagine what we did both clap in a circle for Ben. We are those nerds.
Yes.
Actually, I learned that in Boy Scouts, I think. Mm. Or maybe from the Marx Brothers. I can't remember which.
The answer is probably yes.
All right. So if you like the show, I'd love for you to go out there and do a review for us on iTunes. We also had somebody who just did a rating, and they gave us 5 stars, but they didn't leave a review.
So oh, that's too
that's
bad.
Awesome, too.
But thank you.
Yeah, I'm great with that. So I appreciate that. That's pretty much it for me, brother. Why don't you take us out of here?
All right, Ben. Thank you, sir. Awesome to have you back again.
Good job today.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hopefully you'll think about coming back next week. Especially since we're doing the episode in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, as if we didn't know you're going to be back next week. Hey, guys.
It's like, yeah, I'll think about it.
Here's a preview of next week's show. Ben's back.
Woo! All right, but thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Jonathan, good one today. Well done.
Yeah, it was.
So, wow. Hey, he's modest, kids.
If he does say so himself.
Yes, and he will. Over and over again. Anyway, so if you want to contact Jonathan and send him a trivia question, you could do that at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Chris, that's Jonathan, and that's Ben, and we are Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
All right, I'm excited.
Loud noises. All right, so be excited. A little too excited, actually.
Okay.